All right, very excited as we go into our season of prayer for 21 days. We do this intentionally, so excited about that, and hope you all are planning on being a part of that. And as we do that, we're going to be launching today a new series that I believe is going to really enrich our lives. And so before I get into that, let me just pause right here and say a warm welcome to all those who are now joining us online. And come on, everyone, let's welcome those that are here with us online that may be either watching or being part of us by way of live technology or maybe even recorded. Either way, we're so glad that you are here. And we believe that God has a word that's specifically for you today. But I just want to jump right into this because I believe today is just going to be so beneficial to us. Let me just kind of first of all explain sort of why we do this. Right now we're in the heart of summer. I should call it the heat of summer. And right in the middle of all of our activities that we do during the summer, and we've got a lot of things happening and people traveling and a lot of things going on. But the thing about it is we're now in August, and August precedes the fall season. And in the fall season is a time of harvest. And we know it in the natural, but it's also many times the case in the spiritual. We have the opportunity as we go into the fall, the students will be coming back to UNC Charlotte, which is located right across the street from our church. There's opportunities everywhere. People can tend to settle back in, get into the regular routine, but it's just a time where there is some harvesting going on. There's just opportunities there that will present itself this October. I've also heard that more people come to Christ in the fall. Isn't that interesting? Even in the month of September, there's just more souls that make more people that make decisions for Christ. And so it's an opportunity for us. In fact, tomorrow we've got some Dream Teamers that are going to be going across the street and serving ice cream to the Pride of Niner Nation marching band. And they're starting their 2 weeks of training for the new football season. And this right there is just an opportunity just to make a difference and let people know that we care about them, but more importantly, that God loves them and cares about them. And so we're excited about that. And that's just one example. But the fall is a harvest season. And so we intentionally put 21 days of prayer here because, listen, you're not going to harvest anything until you first precede it with some prayer. Amen? And so we do this at the beginning of the year, believing a harvest for the year, but then we do it again and kind of reset in August, and we just, again, very intentional about this. In January, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting, and if you desire to pray in August, we say, well, it could be 21 days of prayer and feasting if you like. That's okay. But it may be that some of you actually do choose to do some fasting. We're going to talk about that next week in this series. It's just a three-part series, but I believe it's going to really make a difference in your life as we refocus and as we replenish during this time, a time of replenishing and realigning ourselves with what really matters the most. And that is our relationship with God and what He has called us to do, and that is to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. So as you just heard on our Crosspoint news, there will be 21 days of prayer from August 6th, that begins today, through August the 26th, and there will be opportunity for you to connect online. You can go to our website, crosspointworshipcenter.com. There you'll find a link that you can connect with live services of hundreds of churches all across the world, really, that are going to be at the same time praying. That you can find all that information online, as well as resources that I think are really going to benefit you there for prayer and also for fasting, if God leads you to do that as well. But the goal of this is that we discover a place of intimacy with God that gives us life. You hearing that? Our goal is in all this that we discover a place of intimacy with God that produces or gives life from the inside out. And so What do I mean by that? From the inside out. I think a lot of times when we've got issues going on in our life, we and a lot of those issues are external, some are internal, but we try to kind of fix the external, hoping it will help the internal, and then at the end of it all, when everything else has failed, we kind of turn to God. And that's really opposite of what it should be. It should be that we seek God first. In fact, we have little bands that we've handed out before, and it says, pray first. And so prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Can I get an amen right there? That's a good place for an amen. And so what it needs to be is that we focus on the eternal, okay? The eternal. And then as we focus on the eternal, thank you, then this is what it should be. Then God comes on the internal and changes our life, okay? Changes us on the inside. And once the inside has changed, then the external is going to take care of itself. And Jesus put it this way. I encourage you to take some notes here. We don't have the fill in the blank today. We just got a blank page there that you could take some notes down. But write down Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So when we put him first, the other things follow. And we oftentimes do that backwards. And we begin oftentimes with the external issues, and we try to fix those things. And what we're doing is we're working in the natural. We're working the best way we naturally know how to do things and fix things and solve things. And so we are naturally trying to fix things and solve things, and we're dealing with these issues that we deal with in the natural. And they're issues. You could all just also call it life. You could also call it just the stress of life. And in fact, I researched a little bit of this as to what would be some of the issues of our day. And if you look at the top 10 sources of stress, here's what you come up with. First of all, death can be a cause of, or an issue we deal with, and a cause of great stress and concern, a death of a loved one in our family, a death of a friend or someone close to us. Another one is childhood trauma, and it may be that you're dealing with some things in your life because of some things that you suffered as a child. And that's the case with many people. In fact, I have heard regarding campus ministry, and so we're talking about students on college campuses that are, you know, that of that age group, that when they get to that stage of their life, it is already a ministry of repair because damage has already been done in their childhood. And how sad is that? So there's childhood trauma sometimes that we're dealing with. Divorce is another big one that's very rampant in our society. Another one is finances. Concerned about our finances, there's more month than there is money at the end of the month, right? So that's a stress, and what are we going to do? And that's causes tension. Employment, it could be the job that you currently have, or it could be in the form of unemployment, but you're concerned about that area. Poor health is another one. Dealing with health issues, those natural things that we have to deal with at times. Personal relationship is a big one, where we have these conflicts and struggles, and it's, if we have problems, it's, you know, usually with people, right? And it's not me that's the problem, it's them that's the problem. But, you know, so it's all the personal relationships that we have, that's part of the growth and the process of life, but that's an external issue. Another one is a chronically ill child. And some of us don't know what that's about, but I mean, it's a continual lifestyle where you've got to deal and help and work with a chronically ill child, or it could be an immediate issue where it's life-threatening, or an ongoing process, ongoing thing that a family would deal with. Another one, and this may surprise you, another issue and sometimes a source of stress is this: pregnancy. I heard a lady say, yeah. Okay, so pregnancy. You say, well, that should be a positive thing. Well, guess what? That's a change of life. I mean, that's a big change. You're talking about something changing within you. Sometimes it's, I understand that it can be also a situation of infertility and wanting to have a child and can't. Or it may be that there's a pregnancy, but there's no relationship. And so there's a stress all involved with that. Let me give you the number 10 of this top 10 list, and that is danger and fear. Just issues concerned with danger and not feeling safe or just this fear. And that can, the fear list could be another list all in and of itself. So as I research this and I look at these issues that we deal with, I realize that these are things in this natural life that we're going to deal with. And then on top of that, and those are kind of a personal nature, on top of that, there are then the larger uncertainties that are general of our day. And I would just categorize it this way, political and economic unrest on a world scale, right, that we see in our society today that we deal with. And let's just categorize it another way, and that's world problems. And there's a lot of them. And I know you've probably got yours that you're thinking about right now. There's some world problems, but they're of a large scale. And then let's bring it down. There's those world problems, and then there's personal issues that maybe I haven't even listed, but you got issues of your own, and you got issues, I got issues. We all got issues. And some may be small and some may be big. And you might be saying, well, don't focus on your small problem. Look at somebody else's. But guess what? That still doesn't make your problem go away, does it? And then how about this? Unresolved conflicts. And that's really what it gets down to. We've got things and issues that they're just unresolved. And so here's what we do. A lot of times when we with this reality, we battle these things out. We try to just here and just there and do what we can to change things. But I want you to notice a scripture that's found in James chapter 4 and verse 1 that gives us a little bit of instruction and or awareness of really what the situation is in all of this. And he puts it this way. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? In other words, and it may be just the issues that you're fighting with or the things that you're battling with. And it may be an individual, maybe a conflict, maybe a personality thing or a relational thing. But whatever that looks like on that list, but it's causing these fights and quarrels among you with the issues of life. And he says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? And he said, no. It's not about me. It's all those problems out there. But James instructs us that it could be that really the source of the real core of the problem is not external, but actually there's something on the inside that needs to be addressed. And here's what I'm presenting to you in this series, and that is that there's oftentimes a problem that we have, and that is that we try to solve something in the natural that can only be dealt with in the supernatural. So we're fighting battles and losing oftentimes because we are fighting in the wrong way. You ever heard the phrase, well, just fight, I'm going to fight fire with fire? Does that really work? Or does that just add, that just kind of like adds fuel to the fire. It's fire with fire. That just makes a bigger fire, right? And I thought about that. I thought, well, no, what really helps a fire is some water. You need something different going on than the fire. So if you're dealing with something in the natural, perhaps in order to deal with the natural, you need some super in the natural. You need something beyond your abilities and what you can do, and what we need is what God can do. There's some things that you and I cannot do that only God can do, and therefore we are dependent upon God. That's why we're doing 21 days of prayer, because we're expecting something to happen in the fall in the way of a harvest that in the natural we cannot pull off. And it's going to require God to do something supernaturally. And yes, He'll use you and me to get the job done, but you and me are not enough. We need God. So we are dependent upon Him. So we've got to move from working in the natural to working in the spiritual. So we need to do something different. And I'm concerned that maybe at times we are fighting against the wind when we need to be doing something different. We need to understand that we are spiritual beings having a temporary earthly experience. And so we are not just earthly beings with a spirit living in us. No, we are spiritual beings. God breathed life into us. If you belong to Him, He has come on the inside. You are a spiritual being. You're a spiritual soul. In fact, everyone is going to live forever. Just depends on where, okay? But we're a spiritual being that are having a temporary earthly experience. But we forget that at times, and we spend all of our energy working just in the natural realm when actually God knows that in order for Him to produce in us and through us what He wants to do, it's going to take His help with that. So the need is spiritual. The solution is beyond what you can bring to the table, but only what God can bring to the table. So we need to do something different, not just fighting against a wind. We need to do something different, not just shadow boxing. We need to do something different, and we need something different from the inside out. So again, it's the eternal coming on the internal that we can make an external and eternal difference. Amen? And there is a place where we can discover all this. And so I've titled this series, The Secret Place. There is a secret place that we can discover. We're going to spend the next couple of weeks talking about this secret place. And I'm believing through this 21 days of prayer, we're going to discover a secret place, an intimate place, an intimate place that produces life, an intimate place where it changes us from the inside out, and our world begins to change because of this secret place. And let me give you this foundational scripture for this series, and it's found in Psalm 91. And that is my favorite chapter in the whole book of the Bible, the whole Bible. The 91st Psalm. That simply says, He who dwells in the secret place. I love the way the King James puts it. New King James, it says, the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it goes on, and I've got that whole chapter, memorized in the King James. And I won't take time to go through impressing you with my memorization, but you need to look at that because I'm telling you that chapter tells you that there are some things that's going to benefit you. But it says, He who dwells, He who lives, he who discovers this secret place. And so the secret place I want to talk with you about during this series is not just, okay, there's a secret place in my heart and God lives there. Now, that's important. But it's not just, well, I got my life going on, and then there's this one part of me, this little secret place, and that's where God lives. I have Him like kind of tucked away. No, what I want to talk about is a secret place that's found not inside of you, but a secret place that's found in Him. There is a place in Him. So I'm not talking about Him coming and finding a place to fit into your life. What I'm talking about is us basically being submerged in Him. And we go from where we are to where He is. And really that's what prayer is all about. We're not just inviting Him into our life. We're moving into the presence of the living God, where we don't just see our agenda and our list, but we now begin to see His agenda and the bigger picture of what He wants to do. I want to tell you, it's a game changer. Amen? Come on, yeah. Come on, give some help there. If you're going to do it right. Amen. So there's a secret place the Bible talks about, and I want us to discover that. I said I'm not going to give you my memorization quote of that whole chapter, but I do want to share with you, and I don't have this up on the screen, but I looked at it in the Message. Don't you love the Message? It just kind of puts it in everyday language, and I just found it very refreshing. I want to read to you how it reads in the Message version of that chapter. Just soak this in. It says this: You who sit down in the high God's presence. Okay, so it's saying that it's talking about that secret place. Spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. It says, say this: God, You're my refuge. I trust in You, and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps. shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will graze you. You'll stand untouched. Watch it all from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God's your refuge. In other words, you've discovered that secret place. The high God, your very own home. That's where you live. You live in His presence. It's not just something you do. You live in His presence. It says, evil can't get close to you. Harm cannot get through your door. He ordered His angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. Can't you see that? I love this. He says, if you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. He says, call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you. And I love this. Then throw you a party. I love it. God wants to throw you a party. He says, I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you long life, and I'll give you a long drink of salvation. I love it. I love it. See, the one who dwells in the secret place wants to see this. There's things that are going to happen in your life when you dwell, when you live, when you discover this secret place. And what he's talking about is an intimate relationship. He's describing an intimate relationship. And this, when you talk about that word intimacy actually produces life. What does it do? Come on. In any when there's intimacy, what happens? Something happens from that. It produces life. And when we're intimate with God, here's what happens. There's a change that happens within us. And then there's a change without. So how do I discover, the question then is, how do I discover this secret place? Well, Ecclesiastes says this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, though one may be empowered, and that's oftentimes what we do, we're kind of trying to solve it all ourselves. God, I got this. I don't need anybody. I don't need God. I'll try this, I'll try that. But you can be overpowered working in the natural. And then he says, two can defend themselves, so that's better. The Bible says one shall put a thousand to flight, two 10,000. That's pretty good math there. You like that? But then it says this, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So what I want to discuss is three strands where you're going to discover the secret place. For 3 weeks, today and the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about some areas of life that if you'll apply these principles, you'll be strengthened like these three cords, and it's going to produce life. And it comes from Matthew chapter 6. Where Jesus is talking about some things, and they call it the Sermon on the Mount, where he's teaching and the principles of life and how to live your life. But there's a section there as Matthew chapter 6 begins where he mentions three categories. Okay? And so he says, when you pray and when you fast and when you give, those three things. Actually, he begins, we'll talk about this the third week, he begins with giving. Actually, he begins with giving, then prayer, and then fasting. But as we launch this 21 days of prayer, we're gonna begin with prayer. But there's three things. And he says, when you pray, And when you fast and when you give, as if you're going to do those things. As you're following me, these are three things that need to be happening in your life. You need to be praying, you need to be fasting, and you need to be giving. And so we're going to talk about today a place of prayer. And we're going to discover a secret place. Next week we're going to talk about the place of fasting, and we're going to conclude this with the place of giving. But I want you to notice, if you look at that scripture where he describes this, you'll see that in each time he talks about things being done in secret, or he describes it even as a secret place. He says, he describes his Father who is in the secret place. When you pray, when you fast, and when you give, the Father who is in the secret place, and look at this, in all three cases, he mentions the same thing. He mentions a reward. I love it. There's a reward for all three of those. We'll go through those. What I wanted to see is when we are intimate with God and we walk into this secret place, something's going to change. There's going to be a reward on the inside, and I believe there's going to be a reward on the outside. Things will change from the inside out. And so there's a reward attached. So today we're going to talk about prayer, a place of prayer, the secret place of prayer. And as we approach this topic, let me encourage you in this. When you're talking about this place, first of all, or you're talking about the area of prayer, let's begin here. And that is, number one, write this down. You need a certain time. You need a certain time. In other words, you need an appointment with God. Jesus got up real early, and he had a certain place that he would go to and pray. He had a certain time that he got up, first of all. He got up early. He had a scheduled time. And I would encourage you, set aside a time. Make an appointment with God. You make an appointment with other people. You don't want to be late to the doctor, right? Guess what? You don't want to be late to the great physician either, because look, folks, the great physician has not closed up shop, okay? And his office is still open. So make an appointment and keep it. Have a certain time. Don't let anything else violate that, okay? Have a certain set time. That's your time and God's time. And I know things happen. I'm not trying to be rigid with this, but you need to have a certain time. Second thing you need is a certain place. Place that's yours, a place where you meet God. Place that is removed from the distractions. A place where you and him can be alone, right? Certain place. I mean, I love my family. I love my kids. But there's a time where I just want to be alone with my wife. I want to put the kids out or whatever. You go in your car, we'll go in our car. We gotta have some conversation, just the two of us. We got to have some adult conversations, right? Well, guess what? You need a certain place with God where you remove the distractions, and it's just you and him, a place where you can get intimate, where nobody's listening but God. You don't have to worry about who's listening to you. An intimate place, an intimate time. And then you need a certain plan, a certain plan. And I think this is where I want to try to help you today, with a certain plan. And Jesus helps us with this in this message of the Sermon on the Mount, we call it. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. And here he goes. He says this, "And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room." You're going to find a secret, a certain place. "And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place." Don't you love it? "And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Can I tell you something? If you don't have a secret place, you're not going to have an open place. In other words, nothing's going to happen in the open until it's happened first in the secret. There's not going to be a child in the maternity ward until there's first a secret place that happens before that. Is that okay? There's not going to be a public reward unless there's a private secret place where you've been intimate with God. See, it's not about the natural. It's about the supernatural. It's not about what you can do out here in the natural. It's about what God can do in that secret place. And that time alone with God See, it'll never be in the natural until it first happens in the supernatural. Is this good? All right. So your father who's in the secret place, he's going to see and he's going to have that intimate time with you, and he's going to reward you. And there it is. And you'll see each week there's a reward attached to every one of these. And then look what he goes on to say. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. So you're not here to impress God. He says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. He already knows, but he just wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be dependent upon him. And then he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. And we know this to be the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to take this prayer, and I want to give you 7 points to this prayer. That if you break this down, Jesus, in this short prayer, is teaching us a phenomenal way to pray. First of all, he says this, our Father in heaven, number one, and that is that we must connect with God relationally. Prayer is not just about words bouncing off a ceiling. It is about a relationship we have with God. So it's about connecting with God. And sometimes when we pray, it takes a moment because our mind's everywhere else. You ever begin with a conversation with somebody and you're thinking about everything you've got to do and you're looking them in the eyes, but you're not hearing anything they're saying. You know, you're like, okay, oh, I'm holding their hand, I'm shaking their hand, but I really need to be over here. Or I've had people even shake my hand and they don't even look at me. It's like, okay, how you doing? Ever had that experience? Well, that's sometimes how we do with prayer. And I'm not saying it's intentional, but our mind's so scattered. So it's going to take some time just to be still. But you need to make sure that what's happening is you're connecting with God. So we begin with this thing of worship. We're acknowledging who he is. It's not about what we need first. It's about who he is. We're connecting with our Father in heaven in whom all things are possible. Amen? So number one, connect with God relationally. Then he goes on to say, hallowed be your name. And so number two, we worship his name. We worship his name. The Bible describes in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10 that God's name, he is a place of protection. He's a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. What are his names? His name is righteousness, because he makes me clean. His name is sanctifier. That means he sets us apart. So he has called me and he has set me apart. His name is healer and he heals all my diseases. His name is banner of victory. He has defeated my enemy. His name is shepherd. He speaks to me and leads me. His name is peace. He's the prince of peace because he is my peace in every storm. His name is provider because he has supplied all my needs. Come on, so we worship his name, amen? We hallow his name. We acknowledge who he is, amen? And that's the second point. We need to worship his name. And then third thing, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So before you get to his agenda, your agenda, pray his agenda. Pray his agenda first, because his agenda is so much better. In fact, you might decide once you start praying his agenda and realizing those things that really matter, you'll realize those things that we're concerned with, oh, that's just the stuff that God's going to take care of as we go along for the ride, right? Seeking him first, those are the things that are going to chase you down and follow you. God's going to take care of that. So we pray his agenda first. So, God, we want your priority in my life. And we want what you want, Lord. We want to see lost people come to Christ. We want to see your guidance and authority, in parentally speaking, or spiritually, or even in government, or in the workplace. Your will, right, be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then look at the next thing that he says there. breaking this down. He then says, give us this day our daily bread. So now we go to him with our needs, and we depend on him for everything. Everything. Doesn't matter how small. I remember somebody one time told me, well, God's a busy guy. I don't want to trouble him with my little problems. I think he can handle it, folks. He doesn't work like we work, okay? He's there. He's with us at every stage of our life and every detail of our life. He cares about us. And so we depend on him for everything. Again, you're in this intimate place where you're saying, God, I must have you. I need you in my life. This intimate place. So we're depending upon him. It's not up to us. And I tell you, for me, that really takes the weight off my shoulder. Because if it's all put on my shoulder, I can't handle it. The Bible says we can cast all our cares on him. That's when we say, God, I can't handle this. I can't handle that, but I'm giving it to you. I'm trusting you. I'm relying upon you. It's a relationship. And so then he goes on and he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is an important one. Forgive us, Lord. Search my heart, God. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. So this brings us to this point, and that is that we must get our hearts right with God. We got to get our relationship right with God. That's what prayer does. Prayer is to change God and convince him of what we're trying to tell him. Prayer actually changes us, not God. And so we need a right relationship with God, but also with people. So as we want God's forgiveness in our life, we've got to be willing to let go of those things. Give the people, give the issues, give the problems, give that situation, whatever it is that's bound you up, you got to release that with it. And so we must have a right relationship with God and with people. And then, in fact, that's the only one he really, and we'll come back to this, that's the only one he really highlights is this point. That's the big one. We'll come back to that. But then the next thing he says is, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And here's a point that we're going to really get into next week. So I won't spend a lot of time here, but it's engage in spiritual warfare. We're going to discover next week it's not just about conversation, but it's also about confrontation. Prayer is not just conversation, but it's also confrontation. Because this thing is spiritual that we're in. So God, we need your help. We can't do that. It's going to take something beside the natural. It's going to take the spiritual. And then he says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so finally what we do is we express faith in God's ability. In other words, we are totally dependent upon you and we are trusting you. You're going to take care of this. So we don't leave in just a petition mode. We end in a praising mode. We end how we began. We acknowledge who he is at the beginning of our prayer and the end of the prayer. Now, God, I'm trusting you with this. And I give it to you, and I release it to you. So I've often said prayer is not just about having the faith, you know, asking in faith, but it's also having faith to receive. It's receiving in faith. So God, I've asked you in faith, but now by faith, I receive from you this answer, Lord, that you hear and you know and you're aware and you're working. And though I may not see it last moment, and maybe you will, but maybe you won't, and if you don't, you still trust him because it's in his hands, and you know he's taking care of it because y'all have had a conversation. You're in relationship with each other, right? But then let me just point this out. He then goes on, and the first thing he says after this prayer, he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's the only thing he highlights. But I want you to notice what he's really saying there. Once again, it's about relationship. And God wants to have a relationship with us so that we can have a right relationship with others as well. And you got to get him first. See, you got to fix the eternal, internal, external. Is this helping anybody? Okay. I read this and I think about Job. Job had some issues. He had some problems. I mean, you're talking about somebody having a bad day. It was Job. And Job had this conversation with God, and it got pretty intimate. And a lot of it was Job complaining and didn't understand. But prayer is not just a monologue, it's a dialogue. And when God started speaking, everything began to change. And Job finally said, "Hey, I've heard about you, but now, I know you, but now I've said things I don't even understand." You, in other words, he concluded, "You're God, and I'm not." And then, to conclude the whole story there, Job had lost it all. As we know the story, he'd lost everything. But the Bible says that when he prayed for his friends, so it wasn't just a relationship with God, but now his friends. When Job began to pray for his friends, the Bible said that God, listen, he blessed him so much that his latter end was better than his beginning. But it happened, the turning point, if you read the scripture, is when Job began to pray for his friends. Once again, it points right back to the scripture. But how did that happen? It happened. How was he even able to do it? I can't do that, Pastor. You don't understand. I can't do that. And so that'll be a hindrance for your prayer. But how can I get past that point? Job had an intimate conversation with God that changed everything. He wasn't able to pray like he should have prayed for his friends. In fact, he was upset with them a little bit. But once he encountered the voice of God speaking into his life, it changed. It changed him so he can sincerely, genuinely pray and love others. And everything changed. And then God said, okay, now, because that was kind of your unforgiveness can block up the artery of God's blessing. But once that's released and it's freed up, there's a flow now that can come. Now I can bless you. You were staying my hand, but now, because you have forgiven, I can release to you. Once you let it go, then I can let go of all heaven and I can bless you. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? But it began, notice this, it began in this place of intimacy. Of intimacy. Moses was one of the greatest deliverers and leaders that we've ever seen in history. Of all time, next to Jesus, he was the greatest leader in all of history. How did that happen? Well, there's this place that Moses found. We call it the burning bush. Remember that conversation? He had an intimate conversation with God. How could he stand before the Pharaoh and throw down a rod and it become a serpent and swallow up those other two snakes? Because in the secret place, Moses threw down that rod and it became a serpent. And God said, pick it up from the tail. That's some faith right there, y'all. That's okay to throw it down, but I don't know about picking up part. He picked that snake up and it became a rod again. See, he had a time in the secret place, and then he was able to stand before the Pharaoh, and then he was able to lead the children of Israel. Then he was able to stand before a body of water with the enemy coming against them and nowhere to go, and it was a dead-end road. But yet he had an intimate relationship with God. He put that stretched forth that rod, the water parted, right? And God destroyed the enemy. Why? Because of the secret place. David, how was it that David was able to kill Goliath like he did and become the hero of Israel? Because before he faced the giant, he was just a little shepherd boy in an intimate place, playing a harp before God and knowing who God was and discovering that God could strengthen him, and he destroyed a lion and a bear before he ever got to Goliath, the giant. But it started in the secret place. In the secret place. And I don't know where you are today. You may be like Jacob, who has tried everything externally to gain wealth and do what he needed to do. Jacob, you remember the story of Jacob and Esau? He cheated his brother out of a birthright because he was a conniver. They were twins. It came out of the womb, and Jacob was holding the heel of Esau, you know, and he was just a grabber. He was grabbing for things in life, trying to maneuver things. And it worked out pretty well for him until he came to the end of his road, and his brother, he thought, was coming to kill him, and he started giving everything away. I gave him my camels. I gave him my wife and kids. I was just had behind all this. And it came to a point where Jacob was all alone in an intimate place. just him and God. And he wrestled with God. He had a conversation with God. And God said, your name's no longer Jacob. It's Israel, because you have power with God because of the secret place. Come on, guys. We need the secret place in our life. If you don't have a secret place, a certain time, a certain place, a certain plan, and we just gave you a beautiful plan. And by the way, this plan, you'll find this online in our prayer resources of the Lord's Prayer. Comes straight out of that. Just take it. Use it. Look at it online. There's other patterns and forms of prayer that you can use, but I want to encourage you each morning. It'll be live at 7 a.m. for us. Go online. There's a link. Our prayer time together this week. We'll have a live prayer service here at 10 o'clock. You're welcome to come here for that. And if you can't watch it at 7, you can watch it later. Each service is archived for about 24 hours, so you can check it out later, but carve you out of time. And use these 21 days. Come on, so much so in your life, so it becomes day 22 and day 23 and 24. And I'm telling you, little is much when God is in it. It may seem very simple, just you and God, just us here praying. I'm telling you, when we are in the secret place during August, I believe it's going to change September and October and November and 2018. And our church, and our lives, and our families. Amen? Amen. The secret place. If you don't have a private place, you're not going to have the public place. But what God is saying in all this is, I want a relationship. A relationship. That's really what prayer is. It's a conversation. It's having intimate conversation. I want us to have a conversation with him right now. Can you bow your heads with me? Today that you might be here and you're saying, I'm doing the church thing, and maybe, you know, you feel like I love God, and I'm a Christian, and I'm following, but somehow something's missing. Something's missing. I don't have the intimacy. Maybe it is that life just isn't being produced through you. Something's missing. It may be that you need to focus on being intimate with God. Being real with God. Not impressing him, just talking to God. And it may be that the relationship is just not what it should be. And they even say in marriage, if you don't have communication, you don't have a marriage. We just need a relationship. But you're here today and you say, I need that relationship. I want to help lead you in a prayer of commitment to God. And if you don't have a relationship, or maybe yours just needs some work. Maybe you need to reset, realign, refocus. I want to pray a prayer with you. If you're here or if you're watching online and you just know that you need to begin or even renew a relationship, I want you to just slip up a hand right now and say, Pastor, when you lead the prayer that you're about to lead, would you count me in that prayer? Come on, just very quickly, just slip up a hand. You put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. Good job. Good job. Great job. Yes, yes. If you're watching online, join us. Join us. Helping you just with the words, all you got to do is mean it. But it's a prayer. It's just a simple prayer. We're going to pray. Asking God, help us to have a right relationship with you. Come on, everybody praying for support. Let's pray this out loud. Just say, Lord Jesus, today, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for wanting to have a relationship with me. Oh God, come. Come into my life. I want to know you. I want to have an intimate relationship with you. Change me on the inside. Change me from the inside out. Today I turn from my past, from my ways, my mistakes, and yes, my sins. Thank you for paying for my sins, for providing everything I'll have need of on the cross when you died for me and purchased
my salvation. I surrender my life to you. Today, make me brand new on the inside. I give you my life. Lord, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer and meant it. God, reveal yourself to them. God, reveal yourself. Lord, may they see the beauty of prayer, so much so that they'll desire that time, that place of getting along with you. Lord, we worship you today. Help them day by day to follow you. Help them day by day to know you more and more. God, thank you for change that has begun this moment. Change has occurred within them. And thank you for the change that will follow as they continue to follow you. God, thank you for this time that we have as a church to go after you. God, we're just going to go after you with everything. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the harvest. Thank you for changing us inside out. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for decisions made today. The best decision you could ever make. Amen, 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 amen.